Hello, everybody. This is Ruby Ryder, and here I am at the very tail end of a holiday weekend, Labor Day weekend, squeaking in the podcast. I don't think I'm going to get posted before midnight, and it should have been up this morning, so sorry if there were some of you who were planning on spending your holiday listening to my podcast. You're going to have to wait a day, unfortunately. Okay, I had an adventure in Portland. I had a wonderful time in Portland, Oregon. It's a beautiful place. And sorry I missed connecting with a couple of you. I was actually kind of busy connecting with my host, which was very nice. I had a really fun time up there. Some of the things that happened in my travels were that when I was traveling through the airport, I decided this time that I was going to say no to the scanners and I was going to say yes to the pat-downs. You know, when this whole scanner thing started, of course, I had this erotic vision of being patted down by this totally buff TSA dude, which of course is not correct because they use the same sex, same gender person to pat you down. But I went ahead and did it anyway. And I was flying out of Santa Barbara Airport, and the young lady there actually kind of acted rather embarrassed to be doing it. She was not real comfortable with it. And it was the first time I'd ever chosen the pat-down, and I can see why she was uncomfortable with it, because a more conservative person, yeah, I can see why a few people freak out about that. When they do the sweep of their hands from the top of your leg to the bottom, that inside hand is right up against your privates. There is no denying that. So it was a rather interesting experience. But it didn't dissuade me from choosing that on the way back. I'm kind of a mixed opinion about the whole scan thing. I don't really like the idea of it. And I think if more of us chose to be patted down, that the scanners would finally go away. Because I believe there's been some tests done that show that they're really not effective in catching people who have things anyway. But leaving all that behind, that was my being patted down experience. Oh, and the second time was coming home, and I was at the San Francisco airport. No, excuse me, I was at the Portland airport. That's where I got patted down. She was very matter-of-fact about it, very friendly, really nice lady. So that's that. I had a delayed flight on the way home, and the luggage didn't make the connection, even though I made the plane flight at least. So I was a little bit worried about my toy collection, I have to admit, but it was delivered the next day, before noon, by a man who had a big smile on his face. I would like to think he did not look in my suitcase, but if he did, I'm happy to have given him a thrill. So let's get to some of your letters here. Okay, here's the first one. Very new to pegging, we have done it once with the field dough, but it was very hard for her to use it. She likes it sometimes, so I bought a harness to fit the field dough. Hopefully it would work. Also, what can I say to make her want to use it more? Curious. Okay, first of all, the field dough or any other double-ended dildo without a harness that advertises itself as being strapless or a harnessless dildo is not a good first choice. I'm not saying that it's not a good first choice if you combine it with a harness, but if you just get that toy and bring it on home and try and use it, the vast majority of people will be frustrated and disappointed because it is very, very difficult to use without a harness. So I'm not surprised that it was very hard for her, and I keep talking about the strapless strap-ons or the harnessless double-ended dildos are not that. If you're a lesbian, awesome. They can be, but not if you're doing pegging. So the more I say this, perhaps the more people will spread the word, and if you know someone who's new to pegging and they're considering using the double-ended and saying, oh, that way we don't have to buy a harness, yeah, correct them, please, because pegging is a fragile thing in the beginning. It can be something that is approached with hesitation. It can be something that perhaps one partner talked the other into, and most of the time it's the man that has talked the woman into it, even though I know that's not the case across the board. But the point is you want to make it as easy as possible for her, if it is the usual way of the man convincing the woman. And if you bring home this double-ended, if you have it there and that's the first thing you try and she experiences frustration, you are not doing yourself any favors, because then she's going to be reluctant to do it again because it was a pain in the ass. Not literally. Okay, enough about that. I hope that at this point in time you have had some success with a harness. One of the ways that you can encourage her to peg you more is basically to rock her world sexually in whatever way she likes the best. It's the good giving and game thing that Dan Savage does. You need to be very giving, and the more that you give her exactly what she wants, the happier she's going to be, and ideally, as long as she's not a selfish lover, the more happy she will be to give you what you want. That's kind of the way it works. You sort of pay in a little bit, if you will, and you give to her in exactly what the way she wants. For example, if she wants oral sex for an hour, give it to her until she comes hard. If she wants a full body massage before you fuck her, give it to her. You get the idea. The point being here is that if you rock her world sexually, she will be more likely to want to give you exactly what you want. There's a bunch of people out there that think that pleasure during sex has to be concurrent, has to be simultaneous. Both people have to be getting off at the same time. It couldn't be further from the truth. There are ways to have sex where you do have simultaneous pleasure. There are ways when you don't, and one person is just giving to the other. And equally, those are both equally valid. There's nothing wrong with deciding that you want to do something for your partner that totally gets them off and rocks their world, even though you are not orgasming simultaneously. Nothing wrong with that at all. And I would actually advise that. Give her what she wants, and she'll be more likely to give you what you want. Another way that you can try and get her to be more willing to peg you is to try and increase her pleasure. I know this is exactly the opposite of what I just said, but when you're doing pegging, sometimes women fall into that thing of, well, I'm not getting anything out of this. There are ways to help them get more out of it. We've talked about these in previous podcasts, so you might want to do a search on that. Basically, if you have that double-ended, another thing that you can do is get a Wee Vibe, which is a U-shaped vibrator, and it will put stimulation on the inside on her G-spot and also outside on the clit, and it will actually fit inside her and outside in that U-shape, and it will fit at the same time that she's wearing the double-ended dildo, and there are couples that have had a lot of success with this. So it's something I would highly recommend. There are also double-ended dildos that can take a bullet vibe. I recently tried one out that I took out the regular bullet vibe that came with it and replaced it with the Wee Vibe Salsa, I believe it's called, the Salsa, which is a bullet vibe. It's a little bit longer than the one that comes with most double-enders that take a bullet vibe, but it has like 8 different speeds and powers and things, and it really definitely sent much more powerful vibes through that toy. So I would highly recommend that. I actually do know of a very brave couple who he took a knife and put a hole in one of his dildos that did not have that capacity for a vibe, which I thought was brave, mostly because those things are freaking expensive. But he did it with success, and puts a bullet vibe in there, and there you go. So last, but far from least, when she does peg you, use positions that make it easy for her. Part of getting used to pegging is learning all about it, and it's actually a lot to learn. I've talked about this before, but you know, figuring out what it takes to fuck somebody is kind of a complicated thing to do all at once, when you haven't had a cock hanging between your legs your whole life. So, if you use positions that are easy for her, where you're doing the majority of the work, you are more likely to have her be happy with the experience, because she won't be as potentially frustrated if she can't quite get the hang of it right off the bat. Two that are very easy for her are cowboy, which is where she's laying on her back, and you get on top of her facing her, and you ride her. And that also provides some wonderful intimacy, because you can look at each other, and she can see how much you're getting off. She can reach your cock and jerk you off, or you can, whatever works, whatever you guys like. The other is my favorite. It's called a chair with no arms. You want to get a very, very sturdy chair. She sits down on it. The chair cannot have arms. You sit facing her, and you straddle her and slip it up inside you, and then you are in control of the depth, the speed, the intensity, the whole thing, exactly like you are with Cowboy, and it requires not a lot of skill on her part, and again, very intimate, very close. It's an awesome position. So, those are my suggestions to try and get her more interested in this. And just be patient. Sometimes it just takes time, you know, for her to get really interested in it. Okay, next letter. Hi, Ruby. My wife and I have been into pegging since before we were married and had kids. After the birth of my second daughter about a year ago, my wife since has not been interested in pegging with the strap on. She still penetrates me with a dildo by hand, but not while wearing a harness. She says it is because she is not comfortable with her body and doesn't like how the harness looks on her because it cuts into her extra padding due to the pregnancy. This was not a problem after the birth of our first daughter. While I realize I am extremely lucky that she fulfills my desires for anal play, and she still loves doing me by hand, I miss the closeness achieved during pegging with the harness. My question for you is, are there any harnesses that are flattering and won't make her feel self-conscious, such as a boy short harness? Or should we look into a strapless harness? I know that most women have trouble keeping these in without a harness. Any help would be great. Okay, I'm assuming what you meant by that was not a strapless harness, but a strapless dildo. But we all get the picture. And I love that you already know that women have trouble keeping these in, because we just talked about that. Harnessless or strapless dildos are not harnessless or strapless. That is not the solution here. What seems to be at issue is not her using it or her comfort in using it. It's how she looks and her comfort about how she looks. That's what's going on. So here are some suggestions I have for your lady. A very flattering look can be like a lacy panty sort of boy shorts type of undies. Just a regular one. We're not talking about a harness fitting one here. And then she can wear a corset on top, and then she could put whatever harness you guys already have over the panties. You see that a lot in amateur pictures and photos, and it tends to cover up the belly quite nicely because the corset comes down over the belly, and then you've got something underneath the harness, and it looks really cute. It looks sexy as hell. So I want to put it right out there that it's very sweet and smart of you to take her seriously and want her to feel comfortable. After a woman gives birth, most of us have concerns about how our bodies look, and so helping her to feel comfortable and sexy is totally the right approach. Kudos to you. Here's another option. This is the boy short type thing that you had asked about. It's called Rodeo, and it is spelled RODEOH.com. They have the type of boy short type of harness things that you're curious about. I think they're really cute. They're not exactly, you know, feminine and lacy, but I think they look lovely. And they have styles ranging from low-rise briefs to or low-rise panty types to briefs to boxers. There's three different styles covering more and more. They will fit flare-based dildos. They will not fit double-ended dildos. And one of those, any one of those, plus a lingerie type of top wearing on top or a corset on top, whatever makes her feel sexy on top. Something maybe that shows her cleavage, you know, whatever her deal is, whatever makes her feel sexy. That is a possibility as well. One more is velvetnest.com. I don't have any personal experience in those, and there aren't quite enough reviews on them yet to give them a big thumbs up. They're very sexy. but they don't necessarily look like they would stand up to some very active pegging. So I'm concerned about that. And I did see one review where someone said exactly that. They're beautiful, but that's something you might want to take a look at. Velvetnest.com. Can't recommend it personally. And the reviews, it's kind of still out. The jury's out on that one. Once you have found a way to help her feel comfortable and sexy, I'm sure you know this, but I'll say it anyway, ooh and ah over her. Tell her how sexy she is and how happy you are that you're doing this, and just give her all the support and admiration and attention that you can, and it'll go a long way. So good for you. That's the advice I have on that one. Okay. This was a comment on one of the articles that I wrote on my blog. The article was, I need a man to peg me. I need a woman to peg me. Wow, that was an interesting slip. Okay, so this was a comment on that. And I kind of got the impression this person didn't necessarily do a lot of cruising around on the website and reading. But, you know, these are questions that get asked a lot, so I'm just going to answer them all anyway. Are there actually any pegging dating sites out there? I wish there were some women who really love to do that to their men, and it'd be great if it stimulated them as well while we are getting plugged. Okay, we've been talking about some of this already. Let's talk about the last part. It'd be great if it stimulated them as well while they're getting plugged. Well, yeah, that absolutely is a possibility. I mean, that's what we're talking about the double enders, and as far as us receiving pleasure at the same time, sure we do. We may not all be able to have an orgasm while pegging, but that doesn't mean we're not having a lovely time and we're not dripping when we're done. And I'm speaking for myself here, too. There's the double-ended dildos with all manner of vibrating parts to experiment with to give the woman more pleasure, as mentioned previously. So, absolutely, it can stimulate us at the same time, and it does. I wish there were women who really love to do that to their men. We are out there. I'm doing the best I can to try and increase the numbers, fight the misconceptions, and educate people. What I feel like is that the wave has already started. It's just a matter of time. So keep looking. Now, as far as your first question, are there actually any pegging dating sites out there? Well, as far as there being dating sites that specialize in pegging, there are a couple. But no one is claiming any measure of success that they can indeed help you to find a woman who's into pegging. For example, if you go to socialpegging.com and try and do a search for a woman in a 200-mile radius of the general LA area, you will get 6 results. 6! Now, you know, I didn't register and get an account because I'm not going to pay for anything here, but they say you can do a search for free, and so that is without any other delineating factors such as smoking, drinking, age, religion, etc. Peggingdating.com is the only other one I know of, and it seems to be the same kind of thing. There's no good reviews I can find anywhere. There's no real reviews anywhere. There's no success stories. There's pretty much nothing. I would not urge you to do this. I would urge men not to sign up for either of those sites, and instead, just try your luck finding an open-minded woman. I write about this a lot because this is a big deal with guys. How do I find a woman to do this? So you can go to my blog and you can click on the tag cloud to the right. You'll find something saying, I need a woman to peg me. And there's a bunch of stuff I've written about it. Basically, you're looking for a woman to do something very intimate with you. It's even more intimate than sex, is what I believe. Sex is a very intimate thing with penetrations and things like this. And pegging is even more intimate, not because it involves equal penetration, but the reason it's more intimate, I believe, is because it involves a role reversal. Role reversal can throw you for a bit of a loop. So, as I said in one of my articles, it's not like you have a shared interest and so let's just go do this. It's not like bowling. Oh, wow, you like bowling, I like bowling, let's go bowling. No. So I do believe it is very rare to find a casual pegging partner for these reasons. So what I would urge you to do is to keep looking for a woman to date and just try your luck finding an open-minded woman. Ask her relatively early if she would consider pegging. Or you can do what one man did and sort of methodically and calculating, and that I'm not using that word in a bad way. He has turned a couple of vanilla dating women that he was dating into peggers. If you go to my blog and you put in vanilla to pegger, you do a search on that and you will find that article. He wrote this and I posted it up there with his permission. He posted it up on fetlife.com, and I just thought it was really quite an interesting take on it from a man who has had success doing this. Of course, if you're not looking for a relationship and you have no interest in that and you really just want to experience pegging, go to a pro. Save your money, go to a pro, and they will be happy to help you with that. Okay, as far as dating sites are interesting. I mentioned the two that I don't think are worth being on and looking at. There are others that I have had success with personally. AFF, Adult Friend Finder, is a dating website that has a fair amount of attention to sexuality on there. There's like the last time I was there was a few years ago, and they had a whole interview portion with questions that you can do that's about your sexuality. So there is a question in there, how do you feel about anal sex? And there are ways to let people know what you're into. You can't do a search for it. You can't go to AFF and say, okay, find me all the women that are into pegging. But the thing is that, you know, if you just cruise around the internet and you look for women into pegging by going to dating sites and things and finding the women that say they're into it, and you approach them and you say, hey, peg me, you will likely experience nothing but frustration unless you are a total complete hottie and women are interested in that part of you, because women actually resent being approached that way, which you would probably already know if you read my blog with any regularity. We do not like being approached for our strap-on. It's nice to know that, yes, you're into pegging and you enjoy that, and then it's great to just drop it. Or even if you are on a website that they can list that as a kink of theirs, like fetlife.com, F-E-T-L-I-F-E, I wouldn't call that a dating site, but you can look and see what people's kinks are. So if you know that that's one of her kinks, then the worst thing you can do is just to send a message over that says, hey, you're into pegging, so am I. You know, you want to be my first? Or something stupid. I mean, it's like sometimes I feel like I want to set up a tutoring thing for guys on how to approach women on dating sites. Thankfully, someone has actually done something like this, and I mentioned it in my podcast number 6. On FetLife.com, there is this lovely woman named Cunning Minx. She has a blog, and her blog is called Polyamory Weekly. You can find it at the web address polyweekly.com. She has been so wonderful as to create a slideshow, and it's called How Not to Be a Douche on FetLife. Now, but it applies for any dating site. And it includes hints about profiles as well as approaching women that you're interested in. If you would like a link to that slideshow, you can find podcast number 6 on my blog. And the information below the download had a link to the slideshow. So I would recommend that. There's different things to do and not do on dating websites. And again, if you choose to go to FetLife, you will likely be hooked up with all kinds of interesting people who share the same kink as you do. But it's not a good search engine. I would call it a networking website for kinky people. And the search capabilities really are quite poor. The good thing about that is it keeps the trolls away. The bad thing about that is if you are really trying to do a concerted search and make it a concerted effort to search for someone with that kink or just to your specifications of what you're looking for, that's not the place to do it. It will connect you up with local kinky people, and that is another place that I would suggest to find women who are into pegging, is your local BDSM group, but You know, kink, pegging doesn't necessarily overlap with BDSM all the time. There's a whole groups of people out there that are only into vanilla, sensual, loving pegging. So sometimes those people, in their efforts to try and hook up with someone who is into pegging, enter into the kink groups and feel a little out of place because they're not into the whips and the flogging and the riding crops and the restraints and all of that, and many, many other things I don't even need to mention. But, you know, if you have kinks that overlap there, try your local kink groups, and they have usually monthly meetings, regular meetings, and get to know some people. I think a lot of what's behind all this is the getting to know people and having some sort of a relationship with them before you just walk right up and ask them to peg you, either by message or in person, because it is an intimate thing. Thinking back on the polyamory thing that Cunning Minx does, the Polyamory Weekly, interestingly enough, when I the book that I took with me on my trip to Oregon was called I was reading Sex at Dawn. Now, Sex at Dawn is a book that, goodness, I heard about through Dan Savage a long time ago, and basically challenges the notion that monogamy is a natural thing for humans, is a natural base of sexuality or tendency. I'm really enjoying this. I'm finally reading it, and I'm beginning to understand why so many couples fail so spectacularly at monogamy. Loving the book so far. It's been fascinating to read some of the stuff in there, and then, you know, put that next to some of the writings in Polyamory Weekly, and just take a good look at the results and what it looks like when you put the two together. I was also enjoying watching people do a double take on the title for what I was reading at the airport. There's a lot of people in airports, and when you see the letters big, I'm looking at the book here, and you see huge letters saying sex, you know, you do a double take. It's called Sex at Dawn, The Prehistoric Origins of Modern Sexuality. I found a part in there that I really would like to read to you here, that I am going to read to you. It's about these initial notions that women did not really enjoy sex. And I think it's quite special. I really enjoyed reading it, so I'm going to read it to you. Evolutionary psychology's standard narrative contains several clanging contradictions, but one of the most discordant involves female libido. Females, we are told again and again, are the choosy, reserved sex. Men spend their energies trying to impress women, flaunting expensive watches, packaging themselves in shiny new sports cars, clawing their way to positions of fame, status, and power, all to convince coy females to part with their closely guarded sexual favors. For women, the narrative holds that sex is about the security, emotional and material, of the relationship, not the physical pleasure. Darwin agreed with this view. The coy female who requires to be courted is deeply embedded in his theory of sexual selection. If women were as libidinous as men were told, society itself would collapse. Lord Acton was only repeating what everyone knew in 1875 when he declared, "The majority of women, happily for them and for society, are not very much troubled with sexual feeling of any kind." And here's the best part, the last paragraph. "And yet, despite repeated assurances that women aren't particularly sexual creatures, in cultures around the world, men have gone to extraordinary lengths to control female libido. Female genital mutilation, head-to-toe chatters, medieval witch burnings, chastity belts, suffocating corsets, muttered insults about insatiable whores, pathologizing, paternalistic medical diagnosis of nymphomania or hysteria, the debilitating scorn heaped on any female who chooses to be generous with her sexuality. all parts of a worldwide campaign to keep the supposedly low-key female libido under control. Why the electrified high-security razor wire fence to contain a kitty cat? I love this writing. This is brilliant. The authors are Christopher Ryan and Casilda Jetha, I believe is how you pronounce her name. It's a couple. And, yeah, loving the book. Highly recommend it. Hopefully it's out of hardcover by now. Speaking of hardcover, I have to share with you a bit of a thrill. I was at the bookstore, and I think about other things than sex. Of course I do. I'm a bit of a political creature as well. And one of the people I follow on Twitter is Christopher Hayes. Chris Hayes has a program called Up. It is a pretty liberal talk show. And he's really smart. I love the stuff that he has to say. And one of the things that I really enjoy about Twitter is that it connects you with all kinds of bits of information that you never would have found yourself. And it's a really efficient news and information sharing platform. So I follow him. I'm one of his followers. I decided to buy his book. He wrote a book called Twilight of the Elites, America After Meritocracy. I've been wanting to read this for a while. So I was at the bookstore and I looked at it, and yeah, it was hardcover and it was expensive, and I hate spending that much on a hardcover book, but I bought it anyway. And then I got on Twitter and I wrote, bit the bullet and bought the hardcover copy of Christopher Hayes' Twilight of the Elites. Finally, a Twilight worth exploring. Which was, of course, a play on the Vampire Twilight. And then I put, thank you, Chris. And there's a way in Twitter, if you guys aren't familiar with it, where you can put at Chris Hayes, and he's notified that someone wrote about him. Lots of people would do that because they're, you know, he's a television star and whatever, Dan Savage. You normally don't get responses back from people with this kind of thing. And after all, I was using my pen name, which is Ruby Ryder. So it wasn't my other account. And he wrote me back. It totally blew me away. I mean, holy shit. I actually got a reply from Chris Hayes saying, I'm honored. Thank you so much, and I hope you enjoy it. It was a thrill for me, and perhaps there's a lot of you out there that don't know who Chris Hayes is, but gotta tell you, it was a thrill for me. Okay, I think we're done for this Labor Day podcast. Thank you to the new members of Pegging Paradise who took advantage of my August membership sale. You got such a deal. I trust you're getting enough sleep and going to work and things and not totally losing yourself in all the erotic stories that you now have access to. And let's see. Everybody can follow me on Twitter. I am Ruby_Ryder. You can follow me on Facebook. I have a Pegging Paradise page as well as a profile that's completely public. You're welcome to join and like and follow either one. You can subscribe to my blog. The ability to do that is all in the left-hand side of my website. Send me your stories and your questions. I love hearing them. I love answering them. And if you tell me a long personal story, it's awesome if you actually let me know if I can share that personal story. I've made some decisions to not share a couple just because they're fairly long and involved, but they are quite detailed. So I err on the side of caution with that. So if this is something you're willing to have me put out there on the internet, on my podcast, just let me know. And we can go from there, and there you go. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your interest. So good night to all you Pegging fans. And I will be back at you next week from Pegging Paradise. This is Ruby Ryder.